the supplemental nutrition assistance program so the kids do not have adequate food. Then you over-police their community. Kill their children. Videotape it, put it on the internet, and not indict the very ones who took their lives. Then you monetize incarceration and put black and brown bodies in jail and make it profitable for people to make money for sending these kids to jail.
Yes, yes they do.
Then you take the children of immigrants who know nothing other than America and send them back across the border without any assistance or family that know how you can kill a people. And there's a new pharaoh who thinks all of this is a good idea.
Yeah.
In the midst of this new demonic administration that has come to Egypt, in the midst we hear two words that ought to change your perspective. These words are, but God.
But God.
Come on now.
All right.
I wish I had some folk who knew the power of these two words. But God.
But God.
But God.
God has orchestrated the deliverance of his people. God is going to liberate them from the hand of Pharaoh.
Amen.
And it is all centered on a brother by the name of Moses.
All right.
Moses is unique because Moses is bicultural. Moses is born Hebrew, but he's raised Egyptian. Moses has a heart for his people, but he speaks Pharaoh's language. Moses has access thrown into the palace.
Jesus.
He can come in and out without being stopped. God declares, if I'm going to deliver, I'm not only need someone, I need some rebels on the outside too. But I need somebody who has access to Pharaoh inside. I need a man just like Moses. So God meets this Moses in chapter 3. I'm in the book. Through a burning bush. He tells Moses, I have seen the oppression of my people. And I have heard their cries. You know how the rest of the story goes. Moses is sent back to Pharaoh with one simple message. Moses goes to Pharaoh. And in the gospel, according to Kevin Hart, y'all know who he is, right? God told me to tell you, let my people go.
All right.
Pharaoh is not moved by Moses. Pharaoh does not care about the message Moses brings. Pharaoh refuses to release the slaves. And so, God through Moses enacts 10 plagues in Egypt. The purpose of the plagues was simply to ensure Pharaoh and the Israelites God was with Moses.
Yes.
Oh, y'all ain't even walking past
me.
Moses is used by God to initiate plague after plague after plague so that everyone who looked at Moses knew surely the hand of God was on Moses. Nine plagues, brother preachers, don't move Pharaoh. It is only the 10th plague. When the death angel sweeps through Egypt, when Pharaoh, who wanted to kill Israelite children, now has the same death enacted on his family, that's when he decides to move. Pharaoh does not change until it happens to his children. Pharaoh does not mind deporting your children. Pharaoh does not mind calling your children sons of. Pharaoh does not mind saying you from an asshole country. But the minute a reporter calls out his daughter out of her name, that's when Pharaoh gets upset. Please don't get mad at me, y'all. I'm in the Bible. I'm just preaching Bible, God.
That's my daughter. That's true.
So Pharaoh's moved by the 10th plague in chapter 12. He momentarily repeals slavery. He goes to Moses in Warren J. Clark translation. This is what he says. Hey, Mo, Y'all ain't got to go home. But y'all got to get out of here. The Bible says 600,000 Israelite men, not including women and children, follow Moses out of Egypt. As a matter of fact, when the Bible really says is 600,000 women, children, listen, and a mixed multitude. A mixed multitude. I need you to understand, biblical scholars, that Hebrew and Israelites are not synonymous. The Israelites was part of the Hebrews, but the Hebrew also incorporated a mixed multitude. Don't you miss when God opens the doors of deliverance. Don't miss this. When he opens the doors of deliverance, it's just not the Israelites he leaves out. It's also a mixed multitude. Because the hand of God does not simply favor one segment of society. The hand of God operates to liberate all of those who are oppressed. All of those who are unjustly treated. All of those who are hungry. All of those who are discriminated against. All of those that are biased against. God just does not deliver y'all. God delivers all. Why this is a good word, because it is a sad segment of people who only want God to bring you equality, while you are still complicit in the oppression of other people. How can oppressed people want to oppress other people? Don't you know the God that brings us out is the God that brings all of us? The God does that. God does not discriminate who God chooses to use and to free. God says, I free all my children. I know you might not like this, but God is not either or. God is both and. Y'all with me? He's both race and gender, both ethnicity and sexual identity, both education and income. You can't divide the hand of God when it comes to freeing God's people. So 600,000 Israelite men, women, children, and mixed multitude. That easily means that more than a million people followed Moses out of Egypt. A million people follow one man. Church, if God send you a pastor, follow the pastor. Even if you think you're wrong, just follow the pastor. Because God is the pastor. He ain't called you. A million people follow one man. Why? Why would a million people follow one man? Because they believe Moses is following God. I'm not saying follow me if I ain't following God. Follow me as I follow Christ. A million people believe that the man is listening to God, obeying God. We have seen the plagues. We know he has convinced us God is with him. A million people are following Moses because they believe Moses is following God. Please don't miss this. They look at Moses and believe God is with him. God is leading him. God's hand is on him. We will follow him because God's got him. Everything is fine in the beginning of chapter 14. But by the time you get to verse number 10, all hell has broken loose. In chapter 14, by the time you get to verse 10, two problems have come up. Number one, on their way out following Moses, they hear the sound of chariots. Someone turns around and sees that Pharaoh and all his army are now pursuing the Hebrews. Pharaoh has changed his mind. He must have met with his economic council that told him, we cannot build this nation without free labor. This nation has been built on the free labor of slaves. Someone must have reminded him, without slaves, there's no Egyptian privilege. So we must reclaim these slaves. So we can feel better about ourselves and think we are better than anybody else. We got to establish our privilege. So they are chasing after the Hebrews, a million people on foot being chased by an army in chariots. Somebody realized this is not going to end well. The bigger problem is what is in front of them.
All right.
Help me to preach it, God. They follow Moses. They hear the chariots. And they look in front of them, and they have run up on the shores of the Red Sea. They have followed Moses out of Egypt, chariots behind them, an impossibility in front of them. No pathway, no highway, no bridge over troubled water. They do what folk, they do what church folk do. They complain. Listen to what they say to Moses. Hey, Mo, didn't we tell you to leave us alone in Egypt? No, you just had to bring us out here? In the middle of the wilderness, Pharaoh right behind us. We have nowhere to go, Mo. Moses, you done messed up. Notice there's no God talk in this.
Right.
They don't say that the Lord brought us out here. They say, Moses, you done messed up.
Yes.
President Morris, do that sound like church people?
Amen.
They with you while everything going good. Wow. Let them run up on a little closed door or obstacle and they start a trip. Yes. They are super holy until the world get rough. Now the rough ought to get going, but they start tripping. I'm not going to trip if the birds don't trip. Why am I going to trip? They get up in the morning and say, tweet, tweet, tweet. Yes. It rained and they still singing.
Yes. Jesus. Jesus. Father, help us, Lord. Help us.
Moses, you done messed up. Their realization of the Red Sea and no way to cross has caused them to doubt, is Moses really following God?
That's right.
Because if Moses is following God, this Red Sea would have been open.
That's right.
If Moses got God right, this wouldn't be happening. We followed you in good trust, Moses. You told us God was leading you, and now we run up, and there's nothing to do. This is not how it was supposed to end. Pharaoh is about to kill us. We have nowhere to go. Moses, you are following God? Because if you were following God, this would not happen. Now I want you to put yourself in Moses' position for a moment. Pharaoh behind, complaining church folk on the side, a Red Sea in the front, the enemy in the back, discourages all around, and a closed Red Sea in front. Here's the dilemma Moses faces. How do I interpret the Red Sea?
Yes. Come on now.
Can I teach it like God gave it to me?
Yeah.
Is the Red Sea a closed door? Or is the Red Sea an obstacle? We have to get through. I've been following God and I have come upon a circumstance and I don't know, is this the Lord closing the door, telling me I'm moving in the wrong direction? Or is this the Lord giving me a sign that I have to stretch my faith and push through it? This is what happens when you walk with God. You run upon situations and you don't know how to discern. Is God telling me I need to move in another direction? Or is God telling me I need to stretch my faith and push through this thing? Is the Red Sea a closed door or an obstacle? God is able to close a door that you cannot open.
That's right.
God knows how to shut something down. God knows how to tell you no. God knows how to make it impossible for you to go in that direction. Is there anybody here ever experienced a closed door?
Yes.
Y'all, I can drive the preacher myself. Let me tell you how you know the grown folk are in church. The grown folk in church have experienced a closed door.
Yes.
But can look back at it now, and rather than get mad at God, yes, they can give a hallelujah and an amen. Yes. Thank God that he closed that door.
That's right.
Thank God I did not get what I wanted. Thank God I did not marry that brother or that sister. Thank God he closed and shut that thing down. Thank God I did not get the job. Thank God for closed door. Somebody say, he will close the door. Yes, but God also uses obstacles. Every journey with God is not easy. When you are faithful to God, God with intentionality will put obstacles in your path to teach you how to get through them. God will put mountains in your way to teach you how to climb them. God will put opposition, opposers and naysayers in your environment to teach you how to ignore some folks. God will put some problems in your way to teach you how to pray. God will use obstacles to grow you. Sometimes what you feeling is not a closed door. It is an obstacle of God telling you, baby, now isn't quitting time.
All right.
Come on, Pastor.
He put it to let you know, ain't time to quit now.
That's right.
Now's the time to dig your heels in.
Come on now.
And holler like Jacob.
Hey.
I won't let you go until you bless me. God, I'm going to pray my way through. I'm going to push my way through. I will fight my way through. Sometimes it is not an obstacle.
Yes.
Jesus.
So how do I know the difference? How do I know if what I am facing is God telling me I'm going in the wrong direction?
My Lord.
Or God is telling me to push through? How do I discern the difference between closed doors and obstacles? I'm glad y'all asked that question.
Yes.
That rejection that I got, is that God telling me I should stay at the job I have? Or should I apply somewhere else? That disappointment I am dealing with, is that God trying to let me know that it's not his will? Or is God testing me saying my faith needs to be greater? How do I know the difference? Somebody say, that's a good question.
Yes.
You see, the people that were with Moses saw the Red Sea as a closed door.
Yes. Right, right.
Moses, you messed up. That is not the direction God wants us to go in.
Yeah.
Moses saw it as an obstacle,
yes,
an opportunity to grow their faith.
Uh-huh.
How does Moses discern? Watch this, preacher, brother preachers. How does Moses discern it is an obstacle when the people see it as a closed door?
Yes.
How do you know the difference between an obstacle and a closed door? You're not going to like the answer. Because the answer is another question. It is a question only you can answer honestly for yourself.
Yes.
The difference between an obstacle and a closed door is this. How did you get where you are? How did you get where you are?
All right.
In front of this obstacle or door. The difference between an obstacle and a closed door is determined by you being honest with yourself. Here's what Moses understands, and let him know. Let's check this out. This is how he knows an obstacle and not a closed door. Moses knows, I did not get here by my own desire.
Y'all with me?
I did not just show up and tell y'all, I'm tired, let's leave and get out of Egypt and follow me. Moses said, when we left out of Egypt, there was a pillar of cloud leading us. Y'all did not have discerning that was the hand of godliness, but I was following what I discerned to be the hand of God.
I did not
just get here and pray. I prayed my way here.
Yes.
I didn't get the problem against our prayer. I got here through prayer.
All right. Yes. All right. Yes. 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 All right. All right.
Make sure you get this New Jerusalem and visiting friends.
Yes.
I did not just get here and talk to God. I have been talking to God all the way here.
All the way.
Look at Moses' prayer record. Look at Moses' prayer record. Moses said, by the time we get to chapter 14, I've been talking to God since chapter 3.
Yes.
In chapter 3, God spoke to me and I heard him.
Yes.
In chapter 4, I obeyed God and went to Pharaoh, even when I did not want to go.
Yes.
In chapter 5, I told God it did not work. In chapter 6, God told me, keep on doing what I told you to do.
All right.
In chapter 7, I said, I need some help, and God sent me Aaron.
All right.
I obeyed God in chapter 8. I surrendered to God in chapter 9. I walked with God in chapter 10.
Yes.
I did what he wanted in chapter 12. And by the time I got here, I know I prayed my way here.
Yes.
So the reason I know this is an obstacle, because I did not get it by my personal desire. I got it through prayerful discernment.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Church, the ability to determine if you're dealing with a closed door or obstacle is directly determined by how much you pray.
That's right.
Prayer is behind you. Can you say you prayed your way to this dilemma that you're in?
Yes.
My God.
Now, the truth be told, 99% of the Red Sea we faced, we got there following our own desire. Can I just be honest with you about you for a minute? Every Red Sea you faced, God did not lead you there. Touch yourself and say, that was me. So for the people, they see a closed door. They had no prayer life. People want to pray just on Sunday morning. You can't come to church to pray on Sunday morning. Expect to perform your so-called gift you're gifted in. That title that you got. You're performing that title you got, but you ain't got no relationship with God. You think this is a show. No, this is spiritual warfare. And the only time you got to really exhibit, because we ain't going door to door like to hold a witness. We should. But now we're in the service. We ought to perform perfectly, give God a perfect praise.
Yeah.
We ought to be praying, not waiting for the deacons to get you riled up. You should have came with a song in your heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Because they don't have the prayer life that Moses did, they have not talked to God. They have not surrendered to God. If you don't have any moments in your past that led you here where you and God struggled with that thing, where you laid out before the Lord, where you talked to God about it, where you prayed day in and day out, where you decided you will not move until God speaks to me, if there is no prayer, it is a closed door. If you have not talked to God about it, that heartache is going to say no. That rejection letter is going, God saying, it is not my will. If it is no prayer, it is a closed door.
Yeah.
But if you are like Moses, and you have been talking to God from day one about it, if you struggle with God and surrender to him something you did not want to do, but you felt God calling you to do it, if you know who you
my God.
Come on, preacher.
What God?
If you have worn the side of your bed out, praying day in and day out. If you know, someone know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
If you know you have a prayer closet after all the journey you have been on. If you know that your oil has run out for anointing yourself every day. If you have a prayer partner on speed dial, you call so much that they put you on block because you've been calling them for prayer. If you're praying like that, then you are facing not a closed door. What you are facing is God giving you an obstacle and an opportunity for you to stretch your faith. And to show, so he can show you some grace. If you know that you know that you pray, your prayer led you there, then hear what Moses said. Here we go, church. It is some good news.
All right.
It's what God told me to tell you this evening. Moses tells the children of Israel, I know you hear Pharaoh behind you. I know you see the Red Sea in front of you. I know you think I messed up. But let me give you some advice. Stand still.
Stand still.
Let me give you some advice.
Yes.
Stand still. Reverend Ira, stand still. The term, y'all know I got to teach right here. The term Moses used, Dr. Fernie, to stand still, is not to Donnie McClurkin stand. Does that simply mean stand still? Sing what to do when you've done all you can do. Just stand. No, that ain't this. That ain't this one. That is not what this is. This word in the Hebrew, Deacon Robert, is yatsav. Y-A-T-S-A-V. Yatsav means present yourself to God. And let God work on it. Yatsav, stand still means hold your position. Let God be God. You know he's your God. Now just stand still and let him be God. Don't try to show out. Don't worry about it. Just hold your faith. Hold your position. The battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. All things work together for the good that them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Blessed is the man.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just hold your position. It means give it to the Lord. Stand in front of God. Have fellowship with him. Present yourself to God. Fall on your knees. Open your heart. Tell God what is going on. Give it to God and let God work on it.
Yes.
I don't care if it's an emergency situation. God is the author and finisher of our faith. And he holds the time in his hand. You said it's an emergency situation. I got time to tell him all about it. Yeah, get Jesus on the main line and tell him what you want. He will hold it. What? Come here, Joshua. Joshua said, when Israel was fighting, I called on the Lord a radical prayer. I told him, said, Father, let the sun stand still. Tell you.
That's right.
Come on.
Yeah.
You can never need God like that and present yourself and God do nothing. Y'all hear me? If you need God and you're bad in a serious situation, if you yatsar, stand still. God will show up.
Yes, he will.
I'm putting my life on it.
Because
some of us think we got a 9911 situation. We ain't got no 911 situation. We ought to be calling 411 and go to the Bible and get some information. I'm done. The fear of Pharaoh. We made a wrong turn, and it's going to cost us everything. The people see Pharaoh, and they think the decision to follow Moses will cost them their life.
Uh-huh.
I'm almost done, y'all. Let me encourage you, New Jerusalem and church friends. When Moses was in prayer with God, God told Moses before they left Egypt. Y'all hear me? Look at the text. He told Moses before they left, God says, Mo, I'm going to lead you out of Egypt. Don't trip. Don't stress, because I'm going to change Pharaoh's mind when you get out. When the people heard Pharaoh, they thought Moses was wrong. Moses heard Pharaoh, and he knew God was right. Moses said to the people, don't fear. God already knew this would happen. Even if you think we made a mistake, God will still fight your battle.
Yes.
Because even if it's wrong decision, God will fight your battle. It will cost you nothing when you're doing what God asks you to do.
Yes.
Y'all got this?
Yes.
That's what good leadership is.
Uh-huh.
When leadership is based on what God is saying. That's why we are taught as church people, growing the church, you follow the man of God.
Yes.
Well, I don't think he think he know everything. No, he don't know everything. But he is, if he is following you, asking you to follow him like he follows Christ, guess what? He can make a wrong turn and God will get him on the right track.
Yes.
Because he's got that anointing on his life that allows him to make mistakes under the direction of God. And God will make a bad thing turn that thing around. But now if you get before God and try to correct him for God,
come on now, Pastor.
You're on the other end of a fight that you can't handle. Because I remember my dad used to preach this deep. I understand why he used to tell some of the people in the church, he said, you see this up here? He said, don't mess with this up here. This ain't your business up here.
Amen.
You stay down there and let what goes on up here. This up here is like in the Holy of Holies.
That's right.
Stay in your lane.
That's right. My Lord.
Don't doubt what God is doing in your life.
Yes.
Now I done told you how to discern obstacles and closed up. Uh-huh. What do? You got to start having some faith in God.
Yes.
You got to have some faith in God knowing that he got his hand on this church.
Yes.
I know I'm right about it.
Yes.
Y'all hear me, Sister Mary?
Come on,
I know I'm right about it because see, way back in the day, way before Reverend Jones left, he was a good pastor.
Yes, he was.
But I started praying way back in chapter 3.
Yeah.
Back in 1993.
Uh-huh.
When my daddy first licensed me.
Uh-huh.
I know God called me to be a pastor. I didn't know how he was going to do it.
Uh-huh.
Since the older, but I know he was going to do it.
Uh-huh.
So I've been having a conversation a long time ago. I didn't just show up August 15th.
Yeah.
I had to come to the realization, Mother McDowell. I didn't believe what was happening to me, but guess what? When you're not ready, it's when God get ready.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm filled with anticipation and expectation, Mel, because I see the hand of God like the pillar of cloud, and we got a pivotal point.
Yeah.
And God's getting ready to do some stuff to blow some people's mind.
Yeah.
All you got to do is lean and depend on Jesus. He's going to work all things together for your good.
Yes.
Try to live right and walk worthy of your calling.
Yes.
All I got to do is be faithful.
Yes.
All I'm not perfect, but all I got to do, Sister Morrison, is be faithful.
Yes.
Walk worthy of my calling.
Yes.
And God's going to enlarge your territory.
Yes.
I'll widen your coast.
Yes.
He said that upon this rock,
yes,
I will build my church.
Yes.
And the gates of hell,
yes,
will not prevail against him. He said, be faithful, bro. Over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Obstacles and closed doors. I'm done. Sorry I kept y'all so long. But it got good to me, Sister Mary. It just got good to me. Sorry, y'all. Y'all know Pastor, no matter who. But I feel my helper coming on. Can I get I noticed that when God had Moses at the Red Sea, I said, did Moses have a premonition of Jesus going to the cross? Because God said, Moses, stretch your rod across the Red Sea. I said, that's just like when they took Jesus, when he came down through 42 generations, born of the virgin, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he walked on water, Marty McDowell, healed the sick, raised the dead, opened the blinded eyes, and somebody told me they whipped him all night long, and he said not a mumbling word, and he hung there on the cross. But the story don't end there, neither, but funny, he stayed.